On this Christmas morning, our sermon passage will be particularly from Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. I'll read that in a moment. We're going to use that as a sort of a window into the full story that's found in both Matthew and Luke in various places of the various events that had happened on Christmas in the months leading up to it. And how people responded to this question on whether you have room for Christmas. So first we're going to read from Luke 1, verses 39 through 55, and see Mary and Elizabeth and their response to whether they had room for Christmas. Now, after Mary had received her message from the Lord through the angel, we read in verse 39 of Luke 1, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.'" And then our sermon text, as I said, is Philippians 2, verse 7. I'm going to back up and start reading in verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men." What did it mean for Jesus, who is that eternal Son of God, to set aside the glory and honor that he deserved for a time, to come, take the form of a servant and the likeness of men? Amen. May God bless the reading of his gospel to us today. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would guide us, that we might truly understand your will, your word, your truth, so that we would know why we should and can have joy when we sing joy to the world, so that we of all people on this day would really know the reason for the season and not be ashamed to tell ourselves and our families and everyone we meet why this is a good and glorious day as your people. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, congregation, the last page of the bulletin is where you'll find a sermon outline. And brothers and sisters, do you have room for Christmas? Some of us have a room or a closet where Christmas gets stored from January to November. And we have a room in our house that probably is especially dedicated to Christmas, the place where we might have a tree, some gifts, some beautiful lights. Some of us might even, depending on how adventurous or how many decorations you have, might have Christmas spilling over into many other rooms and corners of our house. But do you really have room for Christmas in your heart and in your head and in your life? Do you have room for Emmanuel? It's Jesus' name too. Yeah, it was given two names. Not only Jesus, he was given the name in Matthew 1, Emmanuel, which means, translated, God with us. Do you have room for the Son of God come to earth to live in our skin so that he could carry our sin and save our skin, body and soul, in life and in death? Do you have room for that baby Jesus who says, I am your only hope. I am your only way to heaven. You must repent and believe in me. Do you have room for that Christmas? You see, the theme of our text from Philippians 2, as we look into everything that happened at Christmas, reminds us of this, as I put that on your sermon outline, that the entrance of the Son of God into human history demands a response. The entrance of the Son of God into human history demands a response. And so as we survey the historical facts of Christmas, we're going to learn first about those who had no room for Christmas, and then about those who had room for Christmas. And then lastly, we'll ask ourselves how we can have room for Christmas. First then, those who had no room for Christmas. Think the historical facts, the common folk. The common folk of the day in which Jesus came, going about their business, they had no room for Christmas. We think, of course, of the fact that there was no room in the inn for Jesus in Bethlehem. There was no expectation that that night was any different than any other night. Why should Joseph and Mary get special treatment? If there's no room, there's no room. Life is hard enough. Let's just do what we can to pay our bills and find the most comfortable way for our families to make it from one day into the next. Let everyone take care of themselves. The idea of going out of our way to give up my comfort for the good of someone else. Now, if I have a bunch of Christmas candy and I want to give some of it to somebody else, that's great. But if I have only one piece of Christmas candy and that's all I've got, that's all I'm going to enjoy this year, would I give that up to another person? And of course, what we're talking about is so much more important than that. People were not at all expecting or thinking of giving their own comforts up when they lived in such a harsh time under Roman oppression. And they had to have this census, and so they could be taxed, of course. There was no room for Christmas because there was not very much anticipation that God cares about us anymore. He hasn't come to rescue us from our oppression for thousands of years. Why is today going to be any different? We have got to do what we have to do to survive. That was the attitude of the common folk who had no room for Christmas. But is that the way that perhaps you and I might feel sometimes today? It is such a lonely world being a Christian, and it's getting lonelier and lonelier, as we know. Does God even care about how puny our influence is within our country and within our world? Will God ever intervene? Will he ever come to stand up for us and put his enemies to flight and give them the judgment that they deserve? Or do we have to suffer for another year and another and another? Well, there were not only the common folk who weren't ready, who had no room for Christmas, but in the event of Christmas itself, we see that the special folk also had no room for Christmas. On the top of the list, King Herod. He wasn't expecting Jesus, but when he heard quite a while after Jesus had been born, actually, by the time the wise men got there, Jesus was a little child. He was a toddler. you read the Bible itself and don't pay attention to all the images and statues and pictures and nativity scenes, the wise men came later. And when they show up, King Herod hears, oh, there's a rumor about. There is some child who people will think he has a claim to my throne. Herod was not about to allow this. He'd already, that year and about 2 years earlier, he'd already murdered some of his own sons and extended family because he got wind or thought he had heard that they were plotting his assassination so they could be the next king. So they're out of there. And so King Herod, of course, says, oh, when you find this child, send back word so I can come worship him. Of course, he was not going to worship Jesus. He had no room for Christ. Herod was, instead of having room for God on earth, he had room for himself and his gods that were on earth. The power and fame and fortune of the Roman Empire. Herod wanted luxury and pleasure. Herod wanted the powers that be in Rome to like him, to approve of him, so that Herod could get more power, fame, and pleasure. Because what really matters in this life is if everybody likes you, and if you have health, wealth, and happiness. And that's what Herod was all about. Some other king who comes along and says, my kingdom's not of this world, as Jesus said, who says you must repent of your lust for what this world offers you and put faith in me, there's no place for such a king in Herod's world. But can you think of examples of that sort of behavior towards Christ today, similar to that of King Herod? Of course, there are many. How are some ways we can apply this first part of our passage? Well, maybe you don't particularly feel in the Christmas mood this year. You haven't gotten into the decorating. Your shopping, your holiday cheer, it just isn't what it's been in years past. Is that an example of you not having room for Christmas? Maybe. But it may also be an indication that you've become disillusioned, dissatisfied, unfulfilled with all that this world offers us in our cultural Christmas. But that's not what we're here for today, to celebrate our cultural Christmas. The real Christmas is quite different. Well, we can enjoy cultural aspects to whatever degree we like, whether we want a Christmas tree or not, whether we want to decorate or not, whether we want a great meal or no meal, or go out for the meal. That's neither here nor there. But the real heart of our celebrations today is the arrival of the long-expected Jesus. Do you have room for that? And if you don't, what would that look like? Well, it would look like somebody who goes back about their life, treating Christmas as a season for inspiration, religious reflection so you can get the energy and hope that you need to go back to the grindstone come January and live however you think is best, scraping by, trying to survive until next November or December comes along. And we do it all over again. If the extent of your true faith is measured by your devotion at holiday times and how nicely you can get dressed up, then you don't have room for Christmas. You're just like the common folk for whom there was no room for Jesus in the inn. Jesus did not come to create a holiday. He came as the Holy One so that every day could be a holy day to worship and serve him. And so the person who is a hypocrite, who appears one way but in truth is different on the inside, has no room for Christmas or for Christ. But we also have the example of King Herod, the outwardly skeptical person who doubts what God's word says, who doubts that the Christian faith matters, that is also the sort of person for whom there is no room today for Christmas. They think Christianity is dangerous for society. Organized religion, people trying to tell everyone else what's true and false and right and wrong, that's evil, that's intolerant, that's hate speech. And that sort of person who has that attitude, who thinks there's truth and relevance to every religion and we need to treat them all as equals, that kind of person has no room for Christmas today. But you know what? 2,000 years ago, the world was full of such people. Common folk and special folk. People too busy. And people who are outwardly angry at God. Either way, and guess what? God still came. God still came. The Son of God still, as Philippians 2 tells us, laid aside his glory and honor that he deserved as the eternal God and came in humility into our world, taking to himself the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. God doesn't wait for us to deserve Christmas to come, to feel like it should come, much less to help him make it come. As the prophet Isaiah explained long ago in Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people who walked in darkness, have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And so there is hope, even for those who do not have room, because that's exactly the kind of people that Jesus came to save. And we see the second part of our passage is that even in the event of Christmas itself, there were many other examples of those who did have room for Christmas. Those who do have room for Christmas. Mary, for example, has to top the list of those who had room, the various Christians in that first generation of celebration of the arrival of Christ. The angel Gabriel came and announced to Mary the fact, you're going to give birth to the legitimate heir to the throne of David, who lived 1,000 years ago. You're going to give birth to his legitimate heir, the Christ himself. She says, how could this be? Since I'm a virgin, it's impossible. And the angel answered that God, the Holy Spirit's going to work this miracle because with God, nothing will be impossible. And so we read in Luke 1, we read from Luke 1 earlier, but just a few verses before where we started. Luke 1, verse 38, after Mary receives this message from the angel, then Mary said, behold, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Mary submitted to God's plan. And we read a little bit later that she continued in her firm faith and humility when she sang her song of praise to God. We read in verse 46 of Luke 1, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. She knows she's a sinner. Mary is a sinner. She's not special in the sense of deserving this honor. That's what makes it such an honor. She's no different than the rest of us, and yet she's given this enormous special place in history. And she's a sinner. She needs God as her Savior, and she knows that. And she says in verse 48, God has regarded my lowly state. She knows that. She had room for Christmas. And then there's also Elizabeth who had room for Christmas. Mary's relative, Elizabeth's son, would be John the Baptist, who would grow up and prepare the way, preaching in the wilderness, repentance, preparing the way for Jesus, who would also preach repentance of our sins, from our sins and trust in him. Now, Elizabeth, we read in verses 41 through 43, we read that earlier, she hears Mary come, and she says in verse 43, why is this granted unto me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She also acknowledges and has room for Christmas. She knows what's going on. This is especially remarkable because if you reflect on this, Elizabeth is pretty special. Elizabeth is a barren woman. She's unable to have children. Her husband and her are pretty old now. Her husband's very important, one of the high priests. It's his year to serve into the Holy of Holies. And yet, she had been told in a miraculous way. Her husband was given this miraculous sign. An angel came. She was going to have a child. And her husband, Zacharias, was made mute, unable to speak for the entire pregnancy until the child was born and circumcised. And yet she still, that special, having that special knowledge and being singled out by God with that special place, she still recognized that when Mary came, Mary's even more special than me. Something about Mary's child's even more miraculous than the miracle inside me. And she responded in faith and had room for Christmas, regardless of how happy or enormously wonderful things were going for her. She was on the lookout for God and His plan and others. And then we see Joseph. Was there room for Christmas with Joseph? Well, he wasn't sure if he had room for Christmas at first, of course. All he knows is his betrothed wife, Mary, the woman to whom he was engaged and getting ready to marry, live the rest of his life with, she was pregnant. He loved her, but what could he do about this? Well, in a dream, God reveals the miraculous reason she is pregnant. Mary had not been sleeping around with a man. In fact, God the Holy Spirit had worked this miracle. And this would bring in the ancient promise of the arrival of Christ. Christmas! What did Joseph do then? Do you remember? Did he believe something that had never happened in thousands of years of human history? A virgin being pregnant? Did he believe that? Just because some alleged angel shows up in a dream, did he believe that? We read in Matthew chapter 1, you can turn there, in Matthew 1, verse 24, that Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph believed God's word. This is a person who has room for Christmas. He takes God's word for it, even when it is most certainly impossible. Whatever that word says, it doesn't make sense. The majority would disagree, absolutely. But he still takes God's word for it, because it came from God. Or think of others who had room for Christmas. Simeon, the old man in the temple, described in Luke 2, waiting for Christ with an active and patient faith. He was ready for Christ to come. And when Joseph and Mary bring Jesus in to be circumcised at the temple, Simeon sees that the Christ has come and holds Jesus in his arms and says, "This is the Christ. And Lord, now I can depart in peace from this life." Anna, an old woman, in the very same temple, the very same day, waiting for the Christ, hears Simeon say those words and runs over at the same moment. And also says, "This is the Lord's redemption." She had room for Christmas too. Or think of the shepherds going about their business. Nothing exciting happens as a shepherd. He's taking care of the sheep on lonely hills, night after night. But suddenly they see this remarkable event, these angels shouting, singing praise to God. And we read, what do they say? What do they do? In Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, how do they respond? "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." The shepherds had room for Christmas, so much room that not only did they believe it when they heard it, and they went and saw the manger, but then they went and spread the news, the gospel of Christmas. They told others. They've got to know this too. Others must have room for Christmas. The eternal Son of God has come into this world, and not only must I respond, there's other people who don't know Jesus today who have to respond. And getting in a truck and blowing up people in a Christmas market is not how you respond, though it is a response for those who don't have room for Christ. And they need salvation. What are we going to do? Well, look at the wise men. They also responded to Christmas, and they had room. They're looking for the King of the Jews. They're trying to worship him. And they learn that in this world, even people who should know better, even people who have power, even people who are leaders in the so-called religious world, in the name of the true people of God, like King Herod and his leaders and the Pharisees and Sadducees, who say, come back and do this, sometimes you can't trust them. You have to test it all with the Word of God. And they listened to the Word of God and went home a different way rather than going to Herod. Can you think of examples today of someone who actually does have room for Christmas? Well, I hope the person you think of is you. And that's the last thing we want to look at briefly. How is it that I can have room for Christmas? In all those events, of all those saints who had room for Christmas, we see their example. We see how they're applying this, how the Bible is teaching this. What is it at the top of the list that is demonstrated when they're having room for Christmas? It is faith. How can I have room for Christmas? You must have faith. Faith in what Christmas is. John 1 verse 14 puts it very simply. It is the Word of God, the eternal Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I was talking with a Christian leader in our community this week who unknowingly in his evangelism undid true Christian teaching. Because somebody asked him a question, he felt a little embarrassed or unsure how to answer, and he said, well, I can't really prove it to you. There's no empirical evidence for Christianity. You just got to believe. But that's a lie. Our faith is not based on faith or in midair. Our faith is based on real empirical evidence, historical fact. The one who came to earth is God, and the history proves it, and the prophecies prove it. If you want to have room for Christmas, you've got to believe that the Jesus who was born of the Virgin Mary is the Jesus described in the Bible. Emmanuel, God with us, this eternal Son of God, who took the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of men, as our text says. He is the Emmanuel. He's the one the angel said he was. He's the one the shepherds ran to. He's the one the wise men worshipped. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Do you feel in survival mode this year, like the common folk in Israel did? Do you feel less Christmas cheer, less new hope? Have faith, because Christmas really happened. Regardless of anybody's feelings, it really happened. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is not too far away. God is not too busy to care or to rescue. He is here, God with us. If you want to have room for Christmas, you live by faith. And by faith in everything that God tells us in His Word. But there's one other aspect in a way we know that we can have room for Christmas. Not only our faith, but also humility. Faith in what God says, and then the response of humility because of that faith. The glorious God who came to earth, as Philippians 2 reminds us, demonstrates that humility himself. In Philippians 2, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Just two verses before that we read in Philippians 2, verse 5, you and I are commanded to have the example, to have the mindset that Jesus himself had, right? We are to have the mind of Christ, which is a mind of humility. Christ, though he had glory and deserved our worship, for a time he displayed the greatest humility possible, getting into our skin, and carrying our sin. As Mark 10, verse 45 describes it, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." We see this humility of Christmas that Jesus demonstrated was not isolated in Jesus' example. He wasn't only humble because he was born in a place where you wouldn't expect him to be born, right? In a manger, in a stinky, smelly manger. That's not where you'd expect the king of the world, of the universe, to be born. But that's not the end of his humility. All his life long, he demonstrated humility. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 tells us that in all things, Jesus had to be made like us. He got hungry and thirsty. There was no room for him, not only in the inn, but he didn't have a home. People didn't care for him. Even his closest friends betrayed him and misunderstood him and plotted against him. All of this so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, making propitiation for the sins of his people. Atonement covering over God's wrath, which is what we deserve. As we recited last night, if you were able to be here for our Christmas Eve program, this Bible truth from Catechism question 36. What is the benefit that you get from Christmas? What's the benefit that you get from the incarnation, what Christmas is about, that holy conception and birth of Christ? Do you remember the answer? That Jesus is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sin, wherein I was conceived. He covers my sin. He takes care of that reality. So I am humbled because he's the one who's come to do this. I heard a church leader yesterday giving a false message about what Christmas is. He said, "Christmas is about a little baby, and who doesn't love a little baby? A little baby needs us and needs our help. And God has chosen to come into this world and need us." That's not an example of humility. That's an example of pride. It's blasphemy to say that we can help God do his work of saving us and healing us. But it is very common. It's everywhere. Do you have room for Christmas? That Christian leader didn't. But do you have room for Christmas? We do not ask, do you have a room for Christmas? But we ask, do you have room for Christmas? What's the difference? If you have a room for Christmas, then that is like putting Jesus in a box of ornaments and Christmas decorations. But Jesus is not the kind of person who you can only have a room for him in your house or in your life. Jesus is not the kind of person who is a person for a day of the week on Sundays. Jesus is not just a person for a part of your world, the religious part. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of the whole house, of every room. He's Lord of the whole week, of every day. Jesus is Lord of the whole life, of every part of our life, of your politics, of your education, of your exercise, of your friends, of your family, of your work. He is Lord of it all. Because this Jesus who took the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of men, as our Bible text says, is the Son of God who demands a response from us that's far greater than the response of pulling out a box because it's that season of the year and decorating the house and singing special songs. That's the cultural Christmas. The true Christ says, here's what it means to have a room for me. Faith in me and humility about who you are because of who I am. The conclusion of our text, Philippians 2, verse 7, tells us exactly what we need to say today to have room for Christmas. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, we read this. Therefore, God has highly exalted this Jesus and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you say that, you have room for Christmas. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for calling us to this confession of faith, that this little child born in a manger is indeed God with us, and we will bow our knees to him because he is our Lord, who owns every part of us. Thank you for saving us. Grant us that humility. Grant us the discernment as we live in a world full of all sorts of things, but not very full of those who have room for you. May that not be said of us. We pray as you taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to turn now to hymn 170, a beautiful Christmas hymn. We don't always sing this, but it really follows through the life of Christ and speaks of this idea of having room for Christ in our heart and in our life. We'll worship God with our tithes and offerings and hymn 170.